Good morning. I teach at Hershey Middle School, and I teach math, and we start up tomorrow. The kids come back tomorrow. I know some of you already have a few days in. But one of the games that I play with my students to help with their computational skills is something called 24. Now, 24 is like actually a very big math competition throughout the country. You get four numbers, and you got to use each number once, exactly once, and you can use any combination of plus or add, subtract, multiply, or divide. You don't have to use all of those once, but you have to use every number exactly once and then any combination of operations to get 24. So here you got your four numbers, 4, 2, 3. 4, 4, 2, 3. See if you can create 24. And if you got it, raise your hand and you can show off to the rest of the congregation. Nathan. There you go. 4 times 3 is 12. 4 minus 2 is 2. 12 times 2 gives you the 24. Now that is a two dots. Do you see the two red dots? So that's like a medium level question. There's easy ones, there's medium ones, and then there's three dots. We actually have kids that memorize these, and they can probably do this one in a mere couple seconds. That's how fast you have to be at these competitions. Did any of you not that you have to raise your hand, Rat, did any of you just sort of forget this? Okay, so we had some people that sort of just gave up or maybe didn't even try. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Not 24, but maybe something called perseverance. So complete this phrase: if at first you don't succeed, here are your choices. Give up and hope for the best. Find an app that will do it. Or try again. Well, if you ask the older people in this room, it's probably C. If you ask the younger generation, it is probably B, where you try to find an app. And for some of us, someone else will do it if I don't do it, it's not that big of a deal. I am almost convinced that you can go through life finding an app that will do just about everything you need to do. It is sort of scary that there are apps out there, like in my math class, kids could punch in an equation or whatever they need, and there's an app that will solve that equation for them. They don't even need. I think if there was an app for breathing, some people might do that. I don't know. It is scary what there are apps for out there. And if you don't know an answer, you can just go right to that app. As I said, we're going to talk about perseverance. And one of the most important inventions ever, the light bulb, is given credit to Thomas Edison. And he failed like 1,000 times at creating a light bulb. But his attitude about those failures was, he didn't get frustrated. He's like, I just learned from each one. So I learned that there was 1,000 different ways to not make a light bulb. That was his attitude. Instead of seeing every failure as like something negative, he saw it as a positive. As far as perseverance, the Webster's Dictionary says it's a steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, etc., especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. As far as like theology goes, continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. So those go nice hand in hand, because a lot of times when we're trying to stay in the faith, we encounter difficulties, we encounter obstacles. But what God wants us to do is persevere through those so we get that eternal salvation that he has promised us. Here from another historical perspective. You guys remember the Revolutionary War, right? Revolutionary War and any war or any battle that our military has been in, perseverance has been a part of all of it. The things that our men and women go through in the military to ensure our freedoms, the obstacles that they encounter, we as civilians probably cannot even imagine what they go through. And here's the famous story of Washington crossing the Delaware. During the night of December 25th, Washington led his troops across the ice-swollen Delaware about 9 miles north of Trenton. The weather was horrendous and the river treacherous. Raging winds combined with snow, sleet, and rain to produce almost impossible conditions. To add to the difficulties, a significant number of Washington's force marched through the snow without shoes. So we learned in our history classes that our Continental Army was just farmers and whoever came together. There was not money for our new country to arm these guys. They were using their own weapons. They had their own clothes. And if they wore out boots, there wasn't another pair coming from Nike to help them out. They wore whatever they had in their, you know, from their farms or their houses. That was their uniform. So a lot of them marched through this snow without shoes on. The next morning, they attacked to the south, taking the Hessian garrison by surprise and overrunning the town. After fierce fighting and the loss of their commander, the Hessians surrendered. Now, if you know anything about the Hessians, they were professional soldiers hired by the British from Germany. And they came over, and the British, you know, they didn't think much of our upstart army. So they figured, oh, we'll just send these pros in. They'll take care of business, and we'll be back to ruling these colonies. But despite all of the odds, Washington's men won that battle with the Hessians. Does anybody know why they picked December 25th? Yeah, the Hessians were partying, and they were, you know, probably drinking and having a feast, and what better time to attack when the guys were probably maybe a little bit hungover or a little bit, you know, their bellies were stuffed or whatever. And Washington used that to his advantage and won. And what a great battle victory it was for our country. That helped us to gain our independence, that perseverance that Washington and his men showed. Now today, we're going to talk about Christian perseverance, maintaining your faith in God, doing the right thing when it is not the popular option, and not giving up on another person. So those three things we're going to look at in terms of our Christian faith. Persevering in faith. If you've ever read the book of Job, there is a man that persevered in his faith. And I heard somewhere that like Job was actually like one of the first books ever written for the Bible. Like chronologically speaking, it's like one of the first books. I don't know where exactly it falls in the Old Testament, but it's like around the time of Genesis and stuff. It was actually one of the first books written. The story of Job, if you remember, God had an agreement with Satan. You can do anything you want to Job, except kill him, and he is a man of faith. He will not lose his faith in me. Well, Satan took up God with this agreement. Job's children died. He lost all of his wealth, and he started to have some physical suffering. He was covered with sores and suffered physical pain. And just when Job needed his wife and friends, they turned away from him. Actually, they said, "Turn away from God," and they encouraged Job to do the same. But Job defended his faith. Here is what Job's wife said. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." That's what his wife wanted him to do. This is Job's response. He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Then Job was visited by three friends, and one of them, Eliphaz, said, "Can a man be a benefit to God? Can even a wise person benefit him? What pleasure would it give the Almighty if you were righteous? What would he gain if your ways were blameless? In other words, what if you're righteous? Is that helping God in any way? Does God need you to be righteous? Does God need you to be blameless? You're not doing anything for God by maintaining your faith. This was Job's response. But he knows the way that I take when he has tested me. I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So Job said, you know what? I don't care if you think I'm wasting my time being righteous here. I know that I'm going to come forth as good as gold in God's eyes because I am maintaining my faith. God's words to me are more precious than anything else I have on this earth. And it is most important to me to continue to follow in his footsteps. How do we respond when our faith is challenged as Job's was? Do we give up on God? That's what his wife wanted him to do. That's what his friends wanted him to do. Just walk away. You don't need this God thing going on. Do we blame God? We talked about this in Sunday school. You know, do we blame God for the bad things that happen? We also talked about, if we're going to blame God for the bad, do we praise God for the good? To balance, you know, if we're going to put the blame on God for the bad things, we better be ready to praise him when the good things come along. Do we put our faith in other things? Do we put our faith in other people? Do we put our faith in gambling? Do we put our faith in other things of this earth that help us to forget the pain that we have? Or as Job did, do we hold on to our faith and believe that God is with us and that he has a plan for us? Do we really believe that God has a plan for us? Hopefully, as Christians, as we grow in our faith, we do believe that. Job got a reward for his faith. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept this prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. So Job's perseverance with his faith paid off. The Lord gave him twice as much as he had before it was all taken away. Our second topic is doing the right thing. Now, we have many kids going back to school. Is it a tough place to do the right thing in school? You high schoolers, or all of us who remember high school? Is it tough to do the right thing? All right. Is it tough to do the right thing at work? So, doing the right thing is not as easy as it sounds, especially if we're worried about how we look, fitting in, reputations, stuff like that. You must never be fearful about what you are doing when it is right. That is from Rosa Parks. Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf, General during Desert Storm. The truth of the matter is that you always know the right thing to do. The hard part is doing it. Do you agree with that? You always know in the back of your mind what you should do. The action is the tough part of that. From the Harry Potter series, J.K. Rowling, it is our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. And Theodore Roosevelt, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. So those are some things some quotes about doing the right thing. And I agree with J.K. Rowling. So many times, people remember you for your choices more than your abilities. They remember the things that you did more than the fact that you were a smart person or that you were a great athlete. They remember how you acted in your daily life. The story we're going to use for this part is Jesus and the sinful woman. And if you can't read it, I apologize, but it's a familiar one. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, and this is what every Christian wants to hear, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, if we reflect upon that story, two people did the right thing in the story. Jesus and that woman. The woman came to that house, and she knew what she was in for. If she had a bad reputation in town, she was probably an adulteress or a prostitute. That's probably her reputation. And she knew she was going to a Pharisee's house, and she knew in that Pharisee's eyes, she was scum of the earth. But she didn't care. She knew Jesus was there. She knew she was going to get ridiculed. She knew there was going to be whispers behind her back. She didn't care. She was going to show Jesus how much she loved him by pouring the perfume, which was probably expensive, on his feet and wiping and showing just how much she loved him. Jesus praised the woman for her faith, even though she was a sinner. Jesus could have been like the Pharisee, "Get away from me, woman. You're a sinner." That's not what God came for. Jesus accepted her. He accepted the love that she was showing him. And he said those words, "Your faith has saved you." Wouldn't that be great to hear someday? Your faith has saved you. Do we have the courage of the woman in showing or sharing our faith even though we face obstacles? Do we commend or stand up for others who did the right thing? Jesus stood up for that woman that day. It's so easy for us to condemn. How easy is it for us to commend? Yeah, I think condemning makes us feel better. It's like, "Oh, I'm better than this person in that instance." But when you commend, that's a humbling thing because maybe that person is better than you in that instance. So it's easy to condemn. Sometimes it's hard to commend. And do we have a person in our lives that is like the Pharisee who holds us back from living out our faith? That Pharisee, if he could have, he would have probably grabbed that girl and shoved her outside. Said, "Get out of here." Do we have anyone in our lives who is holding us back from our faith? And how can we handle that situation? I love this quote. "Your life may be the only Bible some people read." Your life may be the only Bible some people read. As Christians, we must do our best to make the right choice. Christians are easy targets. People are watching us. And if we mess up, they're like, "Hey, look at that. You're a Christian and you did that." They don't understand that, yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to make bad choices. But they're always going to look at how we react in situations. And if we fail to make the right choice, unfortunately, we lose an opportunity to be a witness for God. Sort of, there might be a little bit of pressure on us as Christians to make those right choices. But God always said, I want you to be different. I don't want you to go along with society. I want you to go along with what I want you to do. And that's a little bit of pressure. And James reminds us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So are our actions reflecting our faith in God? So we've talked about our persevering in the faith. We've also making the right choices. Our last topic is relationships with others. Have you ever given up on another person? And what made you decide to give up? In other words, write that person out of your lives. Now, there's definitely some reasons to do that. You know, if it is an abusive relationship, mental, physical abuse, definitely no reason you want to get out of that. And also, if the person is taking you away from God, that would be another reason to sever that relationship. But with some of the other relationships, what was your reason for severing them? I used this in a sermon a couple of months ago, but I love this relationship between Peter and Jesus. You know, Peter went from denier to shepherd. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Verily, very truly, I'll tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So right there, Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. And then after the resurrection, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So Jesus did not give up on Peter. Peter denied him that night. Horrible night for Peter and Jesus' relationship. But Jesus did not give up on Peter. He knew what was in Peter's heart. He knew that he wanted Peter to be the leader of the church. When it's our time to make a relationship decision, what we should do, first off, pray. Ask God for guidance. What do you want me to do with this relationship, Lord? What is your will for me with this relationship with another person? Put yourself in their situation. Is there a reason for their actions? Have you done something similar to them or another person? You know, are we upset with this person because they did this? Yet if we think back on our history, we may have done the same thing to someone else. And the big question as far as a Christian, if you turn your back on this person, are you giving up a chance to help God's kingdom? If we sever this relationship with a person, is there a chance, did we lose a chance to help gain God a soul? To end today, Christian perseverance. Definitely it's not easy, but it's going to be worth it in the end. God expects us, just like Job, to maintain our faith through all time. God expects us to make the right choices, even when there are obstacles. Thank God we have a merciful God, because He's willing to forgive us when we don't make those right choices. And God perseveres with us through our sinfulness. He perseveres with us through our bad choices. That should affect how we view our relationship with others. Now, Roger has said all of our songs this week are about heaven. The scripture today said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because they will receive the crown of life. if we persevere with our faith, if we maintain our faith through obstacles, if we do the right thing when we're faced with obstacles, and we maintain healthy relationships with others, and we don't give up on others, we have a reward waiting for us someday in heaven. And we will hear, just like that woman heard, "Welcome to heaven. Your faith has saved you. Enter in peace." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you don't give up on us. We thank you so very much for the examples in your scripture of people who have persevered with their faith. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to set an example for us of how we should act and what we should do as a Christian. Please help us, Lord, each day to make good decisions. Help us to overcome the obstacles of our faith, or obstacles to our faith. Please help us to allow your Spirit to lead us and guide us down the paths you want us to follow, so that all may come to know you through the life that we lead and the example that we set. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church extends an invitation to any of us here who need the prayers of the church. If there is something that you would like our congregation to pray about, you could come up now. Or if you are ready to be baptized and join God's family, we can also welcome you into his family at this time. If the church can serve you in any way, please come forward as we sing.